Today is the second Sunday of Easter. Easter is not a day that we celebrate. Easter is a season of the church. In fact, one of the longest seasons of the church. The season of Easter is longer than the season of Lent, longer than the season of Advent. So, though there is difficulty in the waiting, there is an even longer season of celebration in the fulfillment. And so, as we enter into the second week of what we call Eastertide, we want to begin by just doing something that normally will process into the service. That's a little tricky to do here over the internet. So instead, we're just going to do it this way. This is the Paschal candle this morning, and this represents Christ's presence with us on this gathering this morning. And so I'm going to light this as a simple reminder that the presence of Jesus is the light that the darkness cannot overcome, and that God is with us even right now, even in this digital gathering. The presence of Jesus is here standing in our midst. And so, with that, let me invite you to worship. To all who are weary and need rest, to all who mourn and long for comfort, to all who feel worthless and wonder if God cares, to all who fail and desire strength, to all who sin and need a Savior. The church opens wide her doors with a welcome from Jesus Christ. He is the ally of his enemies, the defender of the guilty, the justifier of the inexcusable, the friend of sinners. And he invites you to come. And so, welcome. We're so glad that you are here with us this morning. Let's call ourselves to worship. And again, if you don't have it in front of you, this is the time to look at that liturgy and you'll follow along in the parts in bold and italics as we call ourselves to worship this morning. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Rejoice, O heavenly powers, sing choirs of angels. Rejoice, all creation around God's throne. Jesus Christ, our King, is risen. Sound the trumpet of salvation. Praise to you, risen Christ. And rejoice, O creation dear to God, radiant in the brightness of your King. Christ has conquered. Glory fills you. Darkness passes away forever. Praise to you, risen Christ. Rejoice, O church, bride of the liberating King, the Lord of life shines on you. Let this place brim then with joy, echoing the mighty song of all of God's world, echoing the song of God's people. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise to you, risen Christ. We find ourselves in this moment, and throughout the Easter season, we're going to try our best to help us put one foot in the now that has come of God's kingdom being ushered in and inaugurated through the work of Jesus. There is a reality of hope breaking into our world and resurrecting life breaking into our world, and there is a reality of the not yet. The kingdom of God has not yet come in full. And we still have sadness, we still have darkness, there are still things that are not yet right. And in this Easter in particular, with all happening in our world, it's so important that we stand in both of those feet simultaneously. In fact, the church is the only ones, we Christians are the only ones who really can do that. And so that's part of our Easter task. And so as we enter into this resurrection day, we want to begin by creating some silence and some stillness and some space for all of us to just get our own hearts open. I don't know what this week has thrown at you, but I know many of us are wrestling with lots of emotions, feelings, challenges. And this is a space for us to open up the ancient gates of our hearts that the King of Glory might enter in. And so what I want to encourage you to do, Derek Myers is going to be leading us in worship this morning. And he's just going to begin now by taking some time to just play some music without any singing at all. It's just a time of space for you to breathe, to open up your hearts, to loosen the tightness in your chest, and to be prepared to encounter God. And then at the end of that time, he'll take 2-3 minutes or so of just strumming his guitar, and then at the end, he'll just lead us in a simple chorus of a song called Graves into Gardens that we'll sing in full at the end of our gathering. And we'll just say the words, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. And so I'm going to turn this over to Derek, and I want to just encourage you to use this time to create your own space so that your heart might be able to fully enter into our gathering this morning.
As Jordan said, we're just going to allow this space to be a time of reflection, a time where you can just open up your hearts to receive once again in a fresh way the peace, the love, the rest of God, and allow the heavy things to be lifted.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing.
Take another 30 seconds to reflect on things that you're thankful for, and in your own words, just acknowledge how there's nothing better than Jesus.
Jesus, we welcome you to our gathering this morning. We thank you that you knock on every door of our hearts. And if we hear you, we can open up our hearts and you will come in and share a meal with us. So would you allow each of us in our own ways to encounter you now? In the name of Christ, amen. Amen. Thank you, Derek. We are going to move into our time of prayers of the people. This is an opportunity each week for us all to participate in lifting up the cares, the hopes, the prayers of our hearts to Jesus. And so Beth Nelson is going to lead us in our time of prayers of the people this morning. And I want to encourage you not to just observe, but to participate with your own prayers throughout this time. So go ahead, Beth, take it away.
The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray together as God's people. Lord, have mercy.
Christ have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Life giver, pain bearer, love maker, God in three persons, overflowing in the creative love that creates new life. Day by day, you sustain the weary with your word. Day by day, you gently encourage us to place our trust in you. Awaken us to the suffering of those around us. Save us from hiding in denials or taunts that deepen the hurt. Give us grace to share one another's burdens in humble service. Now take a minute in your own stillness and lift up your prayers for God's church that's gathered around the world. You hear us calling. You hear us calling, O Creator. Creator of the universe, you made the world in beauty and restore all things in glory through the victory of Jesus Christ. We pray that wherever your image is still disfigured by poverty, sickness, selfishness, war, and greed, the new creation in Jesus Christ may appear in justice, love, and peace to the glory of your name. Now lift up your prayers in your own heart for the welfare of the world. O God, make speed to save us. O Lord, make haste to help us. We lift up our prayers for the community of friends in this gathering, our families, our friends, and all whose lives are closely linked with ours. May we be lifted this week by each surprising movement of grace this week, experiencing afresh your presence that surrounds us still. And we pray for Atlanta, North Fulton, Forsyth, Cobb, Cherokee, and Gwinnett counties, and for the community of neighbors just outside our doors. Jesus, we ask you for protection, for healing, for unity, for justice, for hope. And now we lift up our own prayers for the wholeness and the health of our friends, our families, and our own neighbors. You hear us calling. You hear us calling, O Creator. We hold up in your great light those in the darkness of deep pain, those who suffer, all who are sick, and the many who are worn down. Jesus, we ask you for fresh strength, for your nearness, for life today, and for life to come. And now we offer our prayers for all who are suffering and in need of his life and his hope. Oh God, make speed to save us. Oh Lord, make haste to help us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Thank you, Beth. And now we're going to engage our scripture reading for this morning out of John 20, 19 through 28. I'm going to pass the microphone over to David Bettis, and he'll lead us in our reading.
All right. This morning's gospel reading is from John 20, 19 through 28. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hand, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Thank you so much, David. Thank you, Beth, for leading us in our prayers this morning. And hello. I hope that you are all doing well this week. It's really good to have some time together in the midst of this time. And as I mentioned, we are taking this Easter season to talk about both the now and the not yet that is our reality in the kingdom of God. And so throughout this season, I'm going to be just sharing very brief reflections on what does it look like for us to engage the resurrection life that is available, that is a present reality in God's kingdom now, while also being present and aware and in touch with the deep pain that does surround our world, and the amount that is still unjust, still not right, still not as it should be. And so we're going to try to, like I said, keep our feet in both of those camps, because that's such an important thing for us, so that the church is not tone deaf in this kind of moment. And so let's begin by talking about the now. And to do that, I want to share a little bit about what happened at Easter for different characters in the story. And last week we talked about Mary Magdalene. Today I want to share that when Easter happened to Thomas was full of doubt. We know him historically as Doubting Thomas. What an unfortunate nickname. He was full of doubt, but he was not the only one. In fact, we're told flatly in Scripture that none of the disciples believed in the resurrection. The first two times they heard it twice, and none of them believed. And it wasn't any different in that time, in that day, than it is now, that people just don't rise from the dead. Any illusion we have that, like, oh, well, in the old times, people would have believed things like that, but now we know that doesn't happen. Well, that didn't happen then either. And so Peter and John looked in the empty grave, and they saw for themselves that Jesus wasn't there, and they still went home unsure of what to make of it. And so Thomas, too, had his doubts. But he had his doubts only because he took the claims of Jesus so seriously. If you recall, a few weeks ago, we looked at the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead, the other resurrection story around Easter season. And it was Lazarus who had faith when the other disciples did not understand why Jesus waited so long before he went to rescue his friend. Jesus stayed for an extra few days, and the rest of them are like, what are you doing? And Thomas says, no, let's go with him that we might die with him also. And so Thomas had this faith. He was willing to lay down his very life for something real, for something true. And I wonder if that's why Thomas needed extra time to make sense of the stories he was hearing of a risen Jesus. Right? Doubting Thomas gets this bad reputation because it's a lot easier. It preaches a lot better to talk about stories of someone walking on the water in faith. But the reality is so many of us, in fact, I would say all of us, struggle with doubts that are just beneath the surface of our subconscious lives. And it's not because we're not taking Jesus seriously. On the contrary, precisely because we are taking it seriously, we're wrestling with it. We're struggling to pin it down, to make sense of good news that seems too good to be true. In fact, I would say the further I've gone on my faith journey, the more I struggle with doubt. And the more invitation I have to bring those doubts into the company of Jesus. And so when Easter happened to Thomas, it came through that invitation from Jesus. He said, take your finger, Thomas, and press it right into my flesh. Press it right into all that you are doubting the most. Take all that you're unsure about and all those doubts, and let those things be the things that draw you near to me until you feel my pulse, my heartbeat in your own skin. Right? Bring all your doubts, all your uncertainties, and then find me physically present to you there. And so Thomas presses in, he sticks a finger in, and everything that had happened in his story in the last week becomes stuff from last week, stuff from the past. And this new reality breaks forth in that moment when he feels the heartbeat of the risen Jesus, and he responds with his own faith confession, my Lord and my God. My Lord, this is a way of saying my Caesar, right? Because when Easter happened to Thomas, he didn't hold back his allegiance. He didn't hesitate to leave Rome's rule behind and begin building a new kingdom. He didn't worry about what the other lords might think of his proclaiming a new Lord and a new God, because he had cultivated his doubts well, and that tending to his doubts made his faith all the more strong. He hadn't ignored those inner questions. He had pressed into them. He hadn't allowed it to become cynicism. And that gave him eyes to see what was really real. And in Easter, he encounters this God who's unafraid of revealing himself to all of us who are not yet sure. And so if you've ever found yourself troubled and tormented by questions you can't shake, I want to encourage you today, don't hide them. Don't be ashamed of them. They are a part of your faith story, not an absence of faith. In fact, doubt is a required element of faith existing, because in the midst of our doubt, then we actually have a moment where we need faith and trust at all. And maybe God is coming to you today through the questions themselves. And so may you press into Jesus in the midst of all that you wonder and worry and are not sure about, and may you find Easter happening to you in that time. We're going to sing a song now called The Way, and it's a reflection on John 14, 6, where we hear, you are the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. And it was actually Thomas who asked the question that prompted Jesus to say that. He said, Jesus, we don't know where you're going. How will we know the way to find you? And Jesus said, I am the way, And there's a line in this song we're about to sing where we say, all my fears and doubts, they can come too. They can come too. And I want to affirm that to us as a healthy way of processing our fear and our doubt. We don't push it away, but instead we bring it into our prayer time, into the presence of love, and the presence of love is able to drive it out there and meet with us in the midst of that deep fear, which sometimes takes years to resolve. Sometimes these faith questions take years. They're a significant part of our story. It's not like they just vanish. And so we bring them to Jesus, and we trust that Jesus will speak his words of life in the right way at the right time. Would you join me in singing this song that Derek's going to lead us in as we proclaim that Jesus is the way?
Truth, the
it's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. And all my fears and doubts, oh, they can all come too. Cause they won't stay long when I'm here with you. It's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. And all my fears and doubts, oh, they can all come too. Stay, won't stay long when I'm here with you. Yeah, the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life.
So we've talked about the now, and we find ourselves now moving into the not yet. And we look around the world right now. I think we're at 2.2 million people who have been infected with COVID-19. And we think about so much more than just the names and the numbers represented in that count, but how many other people are impacted in their jobs, in their hopes, in their relationships, in their anxiety, their depression, their already pre-existing sense of isolation. The impact is far and wide around us, and it's significant. This is not a minor blip, but something that we all need to become comfortable around, the idea that this is a significant interruption, so to speak. That's probably not the right word for it, but this is a significant point of suffering in so many lives. And yet, this is not the first time that God's people have gone through a significant upending of life as they know it. And if we look back on the story, in the Hebrew story, the story of the people of Israel, there was a time in the year 685 BC where Nebuchadnezzar ransacks Israel and besieges Jerusalem, and the people are taken away into exile. And I want to share this picture with you. This is a painting of the people of Israel as they are brought to the waters of Babylon, this place that was not their home, and they're carried off into exile. And for 70 years, there is no normalcy. There is no returning to life as it was before for 70 years. And so we read in Psalm 137 that at the waters of Babylon, we sat and wept when we thought of our home so far away. When we thought of how it used to be, when we thought of the time before this, we wept. We wept. And if we look at that verse in Psalm 137, it says, by the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion, we remembered home. And there in Babylon, there in exile, our captors asked us for a song, and they said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And then they ask this question that I think is a really fascinating question for us right now. They say, how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? How can we sing the song of God in a foreign language, in an unknown land, in a place that we don't know or know how to make sense of? And I wonder if that's not the task for each and every one of us in our own lives and also corporately as the church. What does it look like for us to continue to sing the songs of God, continue to tell the story of God in this whole new world we suddenly find ourselves in? And we find ourselves in this difficult time, but we can take cues from Israel in the way they they handled and went through this time. And so I want to encourage us toward three things as a church community. And the first is that we would weep, that we would weep. Right? That's their first task. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and we wept. Thomas Merton says that God is too real to be met anywhere other than reality. And so if we try to meet God outside of the reality of the waves of whatever emotions might be emerging in all of us, and at least for me, they are waves. I'm doing fine one moment, and then it just hits me another. But God has to be met in both those places because that's reality. And so I want to encourage us to continue feeling, naming, and paying attention to what is happening in our inner worlds, because that's where we meet God. Our unprocessed emotions, they don't go away, right? They just get buried alive, and then they come out in other ways, such as irritability toward others and anger and panic attacks and so on and so forth. And so we want to process those things because it is in the many tears. Henry Nouwen says it this way. He says, in the many tears, we are prepared to receive others. It is through the deep hurt and process of our own hearts, it churns up the waters of our hearts so that we can then be the hospitality of God to a weary world. And so we weep. We also hope. Jeremiah 29:11 is such a well-known verse in the Bible, and it's one of those verses that I typically don't teach around because it's so well known that we can miss its context. But this is a perfect chance for us to remember its context. If you look at the top of Jeremiah 29, it says, "This is a letter to people in exile." And we find ourselves right now in exile from the life we are used to living. And so did they. And in the midst of that, there is this beautiful verse, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future." And so there is hope. In fact, one of the things that uniquely allowed Israel to survive this season was that they had prophets that looked ahead to tomorrow. Yes, they looked back and they wept, and they looked ahead to tomorrow with hope. In fact, out of all the civilizations taken into exile by Babylon, Israel is the only one historically known to have survived, to have made it through the season. And I wonder if that's because they had prophets calling them to hope, saying there is a tomorrow and we can be rooted in that. But there's one more part. We weep, we hope, but we also want to build a life in the confusing in between. We don't just wait for tomorrow to get here, but right now we find ourselves in quarantine and social distancing and isolation, in this weird place where we can't go to work and we're always near our families and all of these things that are so different than our normal reality. And right there, we are called to build a life in the confusing in between. And so we talk about Jeremiah 29:11, but Jeremiah 29:4-8, right before we get to that famous verse, it says this. This is what the Lord says to all those I carried into exile. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters so that they may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease, and seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you in exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And I wonder if those aren't words for us to live by right now, that we find God not only in our hopes for the future or in our looking back on the past, but right now, let's go build gardens. Let's go build houses. Let's go settle down and have our children marry other children. And, you know, hopefully we're not looking at a 70-year exile here. But what does it look like for you to engage your life today as it is and to find God in the confusing in between, where we lament the past, we hope for the future, but we encounter God right here, right now? Here's the way we're going to do it at the parish. We are going to engage in a practice of meeting together in groups. And we've been kind of toying around with this idea for the last few weeks, but I want to share with you that we finally have landed on a plan. As this season looks like it's not going to be just a season of a few weeks, but a season that carries on for at least months, if not longer. And so we're going to start neighborhood groups. And obviously these are digital in this time, though perhaps they become, quote unquote, real world on the other side of this season. And we're going to meet together in groups of you know, 8 to 12 as a way of opening up our lives to God and to one another. Now, I told you last week about this a little bit. We've actually moved the date back by 1 week just to get our logistics squared away. But beginning April 29th, every other Wednesday then from then on, during this season of coronavirus, we're going to meet online in groups of people who are actually geographically near us, people who maybe we know well and others who we don't know as well. And from 8 to 9, we're just going to ask some simple questions of reflection so that we can share each other's burdens, hear stories, and connect with one another. And so I want to encourage you, if you have not already done so, so many of you have already done so. I think right now we have somewhere between 25 and 35 families that have signed up for this. But if you have not already, please don't miss these groups. I think this is going to be a core way that we are the church moving into the next season, where it's very likely we may be able to reconvene physically in small groups before we can reconvene again together as a whole church. This might be an important expression of what it means for us to be a parish community moving forward. So I want to encourage you to begin this and to join us in this journey. And so go to the parish/groups. There's a form there. You can fill it out and simply say, I want to be a part of a group. And then we'll touch base with you this week and get you connected to a group. This is our way of building a life in the confusing in between and saying right here, right now, yes, we wish we could gather in church. And yes, we miss how we used to gather in church. But let's build a life right now in the reality we find ourselves. And then after those groups, Alan Pearson is going to be leading us in a simple compline service from 9 to 9:30. It's optional. You can stay on if you want to end your evening in some peaceful prayer and reflection. And so that'll just be a great way to anchor that time as well. And so that's going to begin April 29th. You'll hear more about it, but I really want to encourage you to go to the parish/groups, sign up for a group if you have not done so already. All right. So having said that, let's prepare to meet Jesus in our sacramental receiving of him through the Great Thanksgiving and through our sacrament of desire. And to begin that time, we're going to go through a confession and assurance time, and Holly's going to lead this.
In Easter season, we stand outside the tomb of Jesus Christ and hear the announcement afresh. Why do you look for the living among the dead? What are you looking for that is not here? He is risen. So now we follow Jesus' lead to the cross, being crucified with him, to the grave, letting go of our old lives, to the garden of a new life, leaving the way of sin and death behind. Sorrow and mourning, we leave in the tomb. Fear and shame, we leave in the tomb. Sin and death, we leave in the tomb. Our old ways and our old selves, we leave in the tomb. Now take a moment of silence to confess your sin and turn to God's presence. Most merciful God, by your power and grace, you raised Christ Jesus from death, giving us the incredible gift of new life. Forgive us, O Lord, for living as though we were still held captive by sin and death. We confess to you our sin, shame, and selfishness, my contributions to prop up systemic brokenness and injustice, all I hold to from past that is no longer true of me in the light of Jesus' resurrection, and all that no longer belongs in his kingdom, coming kingdom of life. These things I leave in the grave of Jesus Christ. May you hear deeply the words from the gardener of life. I who made you now make all things new. Be free, we are forgiven. Laugh out loud, we are forgiven. Love God with everything, we are loved. Now take a moment of silence. May we join Jesus now on the other side of the cross, risen to new life, empowered with that same power that conquered the grave, to join the great mission to renew all things. Raise us up by your Spirit to live as your resurrection people. Amen.
And though we cannot receive communion in the way we typically would during a gathering, we still have present and available to us a great high priest who is interceding on our behalf, who loves us, who says, come to me and I will be there and give you my life. And so let's move with our desire through this litany of the great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. And so this day we join with saints and angels in the chorus of praise that rings through eternity, lifting our voices to bless you. We say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory to you, O Lord Most High. Is the Father with us? He is. Is Christ among us? He is. Is the Spirit here? He is. This is our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are his people. We are redeemed. Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And pray this with me now. Now in union, O Lord, with the faithful at every altar of your church, where the great Thanksgiving is celebrated, I desire to offer my praise and thanksgiving too. I present to you my soul and body with the earnest prayer that I will remain united to you. And since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, I pray that you would come to me spiritually. I unite myself to you and embrace you with my soul's affection. Let nothing separate me from you, that I may live and die in your love. Amen. Let's anchor our time now in a song of resurrection and worship, the movement that we took during Holy Week, that our God is the God who turns graves into gardens.
Search the world, but it couldn't fill me. That's empty praise, treasures and fade, never enough. You came along, put me back together. Every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Let's sing, there's nothing. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. You've seen them all, you still call me friend. Because the God of the mountain is the God of the valley, yeah. Not a place, mercy and grace won't find me again. Yeah, 'cause there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Sing it again. Better than you. sing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn mourning to dancing. You turn beauty to ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. Turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. That's none, there's nothing. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing, nothing is better than you.
Amen. Thanks, Derek. All right, friends, as we prepare to wrap up our gathering and move down the home stretch, I'm going to toss this over to the one and only Mike Nelson, whose announcement style is second to none. I know you've all missed it. The great Mike Nelson, take it away.
Jordan, with an introduction like that, what else can I say? But yes, thank you to all of you for the letter writing campaign to get me back doing announcements. And it is good to be back. So good to see all of you guys. And yeah, I want to talk about some of the stuff we got going on in the parish. In spite of the world around us, we are still able to meet and have community. So the first thing we'd love to do is we would love to get to know you, especially if you are new here. So if you have one of those teal Connect cards, actually, if you kind of look in the back of the room, there's a basket in there. Drop it in that basket on your way out. Or the other thing you can do is go to the parish/connect and fill out an online Connect card if you don't happen to have one of the teal ones, if you aren't handed one on your way into your living room this morning. Also, something else that we would love to know is how we can support you. We feel being part of God's community, we must support each other in this time there. And I know that we are so eager to do that. And we would love to know how we can do that. So if you need support in any way, whether it's through prayer or whether it's through just practical acts of service or even financial support, would you please let us know how we can help you? Log on to the parish/care and just let us know what we can do for you. We would love to come around you in any way that we can serve you. Also, I have one very practical way to support right now. If you'll look at that picture of that child, that's baby Kai. Guys, yeah, that's pretty practical. What we'd love to do is support the Mose family, who just had a brand new baby. And during this time, with all the craziness, they could certainly use some of our help in getting some meals to them. So if you log on to the parish/Mose family, that's Mose with a Z family, and sign up for a slot on the meal train. And really, you don't have to do anything big and impressive. You don't even have to cook. Just a DoorDash gift card or something like that would really help them as they are working with a new baby and dealing with all that is right now. So we have lots of slots to fill. So would love to see everyone on this call log on, choose a slot, and let's serve the Moses family that way. Speaking of support, for those of you that are curious as to how you can support the parish, we are so, so grateful for the generosity of this entire community. We live in a very generous community, and we are so appreciative of the support that you give us. And if you're interested in partnering with us in that, you can download the Give app by texting Give to 31996. Or you can log on to the parish/give, and you can support us that way. Everything we do, everything you see, is supported by your gifts. So we thank you so much for all you do with that. Lastly, I would like to pass along the torch and really the mantle of announcements to the one and only Andy Goddard. Andy is going to provide us with a vestry update, kind of let everybody know what's been going on as we, as a leadership team, have been navigating through this time. So Andy Goddard, will you please take it away?
Thanks, Mike. I don't know if you could hear me or not, but give me a thumbs up. Okay, great. First of all, I want to say that Mike will be appearing at Smoke Jack's this weekend with his comedy team for the parish, so don't, make sure you don't miss that. Hey, it's great gathering together again as a body, even if it is with this the digital format. It's also wonderful to see all your faces out there in the boxes, so good morning. So over the past month, we've moved as a church leadership team and vestry into the practical work of navigating the transition, a gathering and worship model. We've been active in meeting immediate needs of the infrastructure, finances, benevolence, and caring for our people. This past week, we've re-engaged with the work of finding leadership stability in the season of the unknown. Just want you to know, as an update this week, Jordan and Holly met with a professional staffing group that Vestry is engaged with to walk through the vetting process and with intentionality to move into permanency. There'll be two more conversations perhaps next week with them, and then we'll have closure hopefully in the next few weeks after that with this whole process of vetting the position for the rector or the pastor as we go. At this time, I just want to thank Holly and Jordan for going through this whole process. It's been very intense for them, and they've shown the utmost quality of integrity to be so sympathetic to the whole process. We want to thank you for leading us in the spirit of peace, simplicity, worshipful contemplation in this unique season. And we as a vestry and the parish family are so thankful for you. For you two awesome people. So thank you for that. And that's all I have. So back at you there, Mr. Jordan.
Thanks, Andy. Well, Andy and Mike, you guys are doing announcements from now on. Mike, you are permanently hired as announcements guy. One other announcement of utmost importance. Apparently, I said as I was talking about the folks at the River of Babylon, that we too should let our children marry other children. That would be really weird if we let our children marry other children. No one's going to join the parish kids gathering next week with that kind of announcement. So that when they reach appropriate age is, of course, what I mean by that. Don't let your children marry other children. That would be strange. All right, as we prepare to go, let's anchor ourselves in the work of Christ on the cross. I got our cross out of the building yesterday, went to the church building and found our cross there, and a little interesting to be back in our worship space. Can't wait to be back there with you all again. So as we always do every week, let's close our time together by looking to the work of Jesus on the cross. Would you say this with me? All our problems, we send to the cross of Christ. All our difficulties, we send to the cross of Christ. All the devil's works, we send to the cross of Christ. And all our hopes, we set on the risen Christ. And if you'll open your hands and receive the blessing, friends, may the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you in the wilderness and protect you in the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Alleluia, alleluia. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.